In the name of the crucified Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. On this night, people all over the world will walk the way of sorrows, collectively remembering Jesus' journey to the cross. Through scripture and prayer, we bear witness to an amazing love that was poured out for us. Accompanying one another on this path, surrounded by suffering and lament, graphic images elicit within us a deep emotional resonance. Who can hear the cries of Jesus from the cross without experiencing the soul's recognition of our own moments of despair? We understand the vulnerability of Christ's humanity, and his anguish shakes us to the core. We've come to the darkest hour of this story, in stark contrast to the light of a star and angelic voices that declared Christ's birth. His death is shrouded in shadow and silence. It was as if the light of the world had simply gone out. Surrounded by his enemies, betrayed by his friends, Jesus called out, clinging to the words of an ancient psalm to express his desolation. My God, why have you forsaken me? As the bystanders watched, there was no help from heaven, no voice that responded to the penetrating question. Arms outstretched in total submission, no loving arms reached out to embrace him. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning captured this tragic scene in her poem, Cowper's Grave. Deserted, who hath dreamt that when the cross in darkness rested upon the victim's hidden face, no love was manifested? What frantic hands outstretched have e'er atoning drops averted? What tears washed them from the soul that one should be deserted? Deserted, God could separate from his own essence, rather. Adam's sins have swept between the righteous Son and the Father. Yea, once Emmanuel's orphaned cry his universe hath shaken, it went up single, echoless, my God, I am forsaken. It went up from the Holy's lips amid his lost creation. That of the lost, no son should use these words of desolation. In the chilling moments after Christ breathed his last, the death of hope must have been palpable among the people. It is beyond our imagining that Christ would die alone and abandoned by God. Like the bystanders, we want Jesus to come down from the cross so that he will be vindicated. Most of us struggle to understand the meaning of the cross. Jesus' suffering has been explained as a perfect sacrifice for human sin, a victory over evil and death, an example of God's kenotic or outpouring nature. But the agony of the cross is too much for us to bear. We would rather leave behind the whole ugly scene and rush to Easter joy. But the lament has something to teach us. It wells up in us every time we encounter our own crosses. My God, why have you forsaken me? We don't have far to look to find events that we consider God forsaken, where, like Christ, our sorrow, our collective grief and helplessness are laid bare. In the midst of human suffering, it is only natural to cry out to God, "Why?" An experience of divine silence in those moments can deeply shake our faith. But this question uttered by Jesus validates the pain and despair and doubt and suffering that is a part of the human journey. To pray, to scream out to God, is to embody the possibility that someone is listening and caring, even when the felt presence of God is absent. The very same psalm Jesus recited goes on to say, "Our forefathers put their trust in you. They trusted and you delivered them." We understand this viscerally. When we have hit the bottom of life and the bottom holds, through the darkness there is a glimmer, a word of hope, an outstretched hand. As Jesus' love was poured out for us, we were given that glimmer of new life. What if his cries were intended to call us to pour out our lives for others, to be that outstretched hand in someone else's darkness? Brian McLaren, in his book Naked Spirituality, suggests that our questioning seeks a new and creative possibility from the emptiness of the cross. The question, why, is a container for our pain and collectively raises our voices for the suffering and on behalf of others. In a culture that idolizes self-reliance, laments place us in solidarity with the outcast. Suffering is the great equalizer. Identified with the powerless, the notion that we are in control dies in us. God took in the pain of the world into the divine being so that it would be redeemed. When we are standing in the rubble of what once was in our lives, we are invited to remember God's faithfulness to God's people and to respond by becoming a harbinger of hope. The faith journey told through many generations was expressed in this simple pattern, crying out to God in the midst of divine silence, recalling together ways in which God had delivered them, and trusting in God to create anew. When we feel alone, turning to the things of the world will always be our human frailty. Our strength poured out, sometimes we have to depend on the prayers of others. This is the power of our communal journey and the vehicle of God's grace. Christ on the cross patterned for us a love that bears all things, grace beyond suffering, and hope at the last. On this Good Friday, we anticipate the coming Easter. But before we rush to joy, let us dwell for a moment in that vulnerability, the vulnerability of our sorrows. Our lament teaches us about compassion, and it will not be wasted. Let us stand in solidarity with those who suffer, pray for those who can't, stand for those whose legs will not support them. Be the hope that fills us in the empty places. While we may never understand the why of suffering, we know that death is not the final word. The bottom has held, and if you look for it, there will be a glimmer of new light. This hope is made possible for us by the love that was poured out on the cross. Despite our grief, that makes this Friday good. Amen.